Welcome to episode 40 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Got a lot of little things to talk about today. It's still a little over 2.5 weeks until Visions comes out on September the 22nd, so we're not talking about any Disney Plus content episodes today, but as it happens, we've just seen quite a lot of different things pop up around the internet that has given us quite a lot to talk about this week. So let's talk Star Wars. First up, I want to talk about some sneaky Star Wars content that has been revealed in the last couple of days. Now, I say sneaky because this hasn't really come from official English language channels, but it's interesting to know that we have some previously unannounced new content coming to Disney Plus and, well, most likely on Disney Plus, but possibly on other Star Wars YouTube content channels. First up is a title called Galaxy of Sounds. This is described as having 7 episodes. We don't know a lot more about this. It's come out via the Disney Plus Twitter account in Spain, so it is official, but it hasn't been released in our part of the world. Speculation is that this is going to be something along the lines, perhaps, of the Biomes content that is on Disney Plus. That was a Star Wars 18-minute episode that just sort of had environmental background type fly-throughs over landscapes. So it's possible that the Galaxy of Sounds will be that sort of exploration, ambient content, Star Wars content. But looking forward to seeing that on Disney Plus one way or another. It's listed as coming out at the end of September, according to the Spanish Disney Plus Twitter account.
I like this sort of casual background content that Disney Plus is putting out. I'm quite a fan of the classic Disney animation sort of Zenimation series, where it focuses on the visuals and the sounds, with the music and sort of audio and action taken out. So you really appreciate the background detail in animation and the complex sounds, because of course animation isn't filmed anywhere. It doesn't have any inherent noise to it. So all of the sounds and animation are completely created. And the same goes for a lot in Star Wars. You know, there are no spaceships taking off. They have to create the sounds of spaceships taking off. So I'm kind of excited to see what this will be, whether it's sort of a featurette where they talk about creating the sounds, or whether it's like the Biomes where we just get the sort of casual, calming, sort of almost sort of meditative look at the little background elements to Star Wars that perhaps get a little overlooked when you've got lightsabers and blasters and John Williams music. But, you know, it sort of really shines a light on some of the other contributors to the Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah, at this point, we don't know the episode durations, but if we did, that would perhaps give us a little bit more information about what sort of content. I guess, as you say, the two main options here that it may pan out as being are either a bit of a behind-the-scenes look at sound creation within the Star Wars content, or a ambient biomes-type content. There's another sneaky title that has been accidentally revealed. We're pretty sure that it is solid for a number of reasons that I'll explain shortly, but it was accidentally revealed and has been a little bit hidden since. It's an animated series called Galaxy of Creatures. Now, this is a series of 12 animated shorts that explore Star Wars wildlife with, as they describe, heartwarming and hilarious vignettes. It's been associated with quite a bit of artwork that shows a whole range of Star Wars creatures from across the Star Wars franchise, including Blurg, Wampa, Lothcat, Nexu, Quakian Monkey Lizard, Tatooine Scurriers, Minok, Rancors, Porgs, Wampas, Tauntauns, and even a Charhound, which is a new creation from the High Republic series. Now, the way that this content was revealed was via apparel listings on Amazon, which has since been taken down. There was quite a wide range of apparel and cushions and pillow covers and so forth that was revealed. And it was interesting that the description of the series that it comes from was actually embedded in the apparel description, which is a little bit rare, but could be expected by the fact that this is new content, upcoming content. And the way this came about, everyone suspects, is that the Vision series that's coming out in September has just had a whole lot of apparel also revealed on StarWars.com and Amazon. So it's presumed that whoever did the activating of all of the Visions apparel on Amazon just went a little bit far and also activated the Galaxy of Creatures apparel en masse, and it's since have to have been taken down because it was made available too early. We're not 100% sure if this Galaxy of Creatures will come out on Disney Plus or via the Star Wars YouTube channel or Disney Kids YouTube channel or such like, but I'm hoping that it will be a Disney Plus release, because that platform is just a little bit easier to have all content aggregated on and in one place. But the art that's associated with this Galaxy of Creatures series is fun. I guess it's along the lines of the Forces of Destiny or Galaxy of Heroes type animation style, and we presume we'll have that sort of flavour and that sort of intended target audience. But either way, I love the critters of the Star Wars galaxy, and I'm looking forward to seeing this sort of content.
Yeah, as you say, the Forces of Destiny series were obviously aimed at a younger audience, as Star Wars is for all ages, but I did find it really enjoyable. They were short, and I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit more focusing on creatures. Obviously, animals are a touchstone point for little kids. They are a draw card for kids that don't understand sort of larger, complex adult storylines. They're simple, they're cute, you can tell some really neat little stories with them. So I'm really excited with this. As you say, I hope it's on Disney Plus, not to sort of gatekeep it away from people that don't have Disney Plus from the subscription point of view, but I like having all Star Wars content in one place. I can carry it around on my phone. It's always there whenever I want to watch it, and Disney Plus does let you download things to watch offline, so that's a good option for people that have kids. You can download a bunch of these things and keep them occupied in the car or wherever you need. And I think it's kind of fun when things like this get teased. Sometimes it's a little bit frustrating that Disney/Lucasfilm still keeps this constant shroud of secrecy over anything. Clearly this is not going to have big implications on big storylines. It's not going to have massive spoilers for the Book of Boba Fett or something in this. This is just fun, cute content, and they don't need to keep us in the dark for quite this long. If they've got an array of merchandise planned, then this stuff can't be too far off, probably before the end of the year. So I'm really hoping that they just like, whoops, that came out a few days early, let's do an official announcement and then put the merch back up, because the apparel for Visions, it's already available prior to its official release later this month. So if you're a fan of Star Wars fashion or pillows and things like that to decorate your home, Amazon's definitely going to be worth checking out. We don't know just yet if this apparel will ship internationally, but Amazon does ship to freight forwarders.
Yeah, so we'll put a link to the Amazon apparel content down below, but also a link to the StarWars.com coverage of this Visions apparel. Like I say, it's coming out nearly 3 weeks in advance of the series. There's a lot of variety here, but there are some minor spoilers. So if you're trying to avoid that, you'll just have to perhaps avoid looking at the actual apparel options. But without getting too spoilery, it covers a range of interesting characters like, you know, Stormtroopers and Boba Fett, who we knew are going to be associated in the series. You can see protocol droids, astromech droids, Dark Troopers, a few familiar aliens like Bith Cantina Band members. And there's also seems to be a little bit of emphasis on a couple of the titles, which are becoming a little more familiar now, you know, as we're getting exposed to the promotional material, like the Lop and Oko characters, the twins and such like. And I guess that's going to give us a little bit of a feel for where I think some of the focus for merchandising might be moving forward. So there's other reveals amongst those apparel designs that is a little bit spoilery. I won't go into them here, but if you want to find out more about what we can expect from Visions, check out the apparel. Or if you're actually interested in buying merchandise for the Visions series, check out the apparel. Put links down below. Now, the StarWars.com article talks about a lot of the t-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and so forth coming from Fifth Sun. There's also socks from Rock'em Socks. Fifth Sun have a long history with Star Wars apparel, don't they?
Yes, they are primarily a print-on sort of apparel company where a lot of their designs are simply the images, and they can print them on a variety of men's, women's and children's t-shirts, tank tops, hoodies, sweatshirts in a variety of different colors as well. Now, the Fifth Sun website doesn't ship outside the US, but there are other ways to get a hold of it. And I am very happy that they are stocking this through Amazon, because Amazon does not block freight forwarding. So if you watch the Visions, if you are a sort of a crossover fan who loves Star Wars and loves anime and really wants to get a hold of some of these designs, know that if Amazon doesn't ship them internationally, you can use freight forwarding services like MyUS or the New Zealand Post UShop options.
Yeah, we haven't tested whether or not these will ship internationally just yet, because they've only just shown up on Amazon, but we'll probably do that. And I mean, there's even a possibility that they may ship from amazon.com.au as well, which we obviously have access to. We'll explore that and talk a little bit more about that in a future podcast, I think. We read during the past week that there is a new Star Wars Galaxies series of trading cards coming out from Topps. For 2021, Topps is releasing what they're calling the Chrome Star Wars Galaxy trading cards. And this is taking artwork from previous Star Wars Galaxy releases and applying chrome effects to them, basically. Now, I mention this for a number of reasons. I mean, it's we're fans of card collecting, both the Topps series and the international variants of that, but also trading card promotional items from campaigns that have shown up just in New Zealand in particular and so forth. And we've talked about those on SDMZ a lot. But we personally collected the Star Wars Galaxy trading cards going back to the 1993 Series 1 when it started back in 1993. The Galaxy series has actually continued through about 7 series through to 2012, and there was a sort of a redux series called just Series 2018 and 2018. So it's interesting to see all of those imagery revisited. I'm quite a fan of those Galaxy series cards. If you're not familiar with them, what they are is basically a wide array of different artists interpreting actual scenes or behind the scenes or parallel scenes from Star Wars stories from their own point of view and in their own style. That's very cool artwork. They also released a couple of books that wrapped up the Series 1 and Series 2 of those Galaxy series card artwork back in the mid-90s. It's a very cool addition to our library. It was really cool. I mean, we like Star Wars art and expanding universe art in particular, so it's nice to have those sort of trading cards and those sort of artwork books in our collection.
A great option if you like the artist's sort of interpretations of scenes, and there are some really well-known artists in there. I know Dave Dorman did a lot of stuff back in the day, but it's the cards and the books were great options if you couldn't afford or don't have the wall space to put a lot of unique Star Wars art on your walls. It was sort of a pocket collection of Star Wars art, and I just loved having such a huge variety of art from different characters, different artists, and sort of just interpreted scenes and things like that. So I'm really excited to see that they are returning to the Galaxy series with a new sort of twist on it with this chrome effects. It sounds really fun.
Now, there's a couple of reasons why I wanted to mention these Galaxy series trading cards from Topps. The first is just to talk about them in general for fans of trading cards, even though it's a little harder, I think, in some ways to get trading card series in New Zealand than it has been in the past. There's a slightly fewer retailers in terms of comic shops or card or gaming shops that stocked them than there has been in the past. But, you know, local card shops and gaming shops do often have these on the countertops, and you can order them online from a few different sources. But if you're not into pursuing physical copies of cards, we brought this topic up as a little bit of a segue to talk about the Star Wars Card Trader digital app, which is available on iOS and Android. And this is a digital card collecting app that we both use and enjoy. And I thought it was worth just talking about it briefly, because at various points in time, I've sort of dismissed it myself, thinking that, you know, these are just a collections of JPEGs, you know, pixels really. And I didn't really sort of appreciate the extent to which that collecting urge, that collecting itch can actually translate into a digital app. But having got stuck into these digital card trading apps, I can safely say that if you're a collector, if you're a card collector, and that's just an urge that you find a need to satisfy on an ongoing basis, the digital card trading apps actually do a reasonable job of that, of translating the experience of holding cards into collecting them in a digital way and trading them and, you know, getting the inserts and rarer cards and packs.
The Topps Star Wars Card Trader app came out at the launch sort of around Force Awakens. It came around about 2015, and we both played it at launch and collected a lot of those series. And my mobile device at the time, because it does take a little bit of memory to store all the pictures, and my mobile device at the time struggled a little bit, so I kind of put it down, and it was playing a little bit with my obsessive tendencies to try and collect things, so I sort of put it aside and took a break, as sometimes we have to do with apps when time gets a little bit not on our side. And we recently picked it up again this year, just as kind of like, just to see where it was, see how things are going, look at the cards that we used to have. And I was pleasantly surprised to say that the app is fully thriving. It hasn't dwindled away like so many other Star Wars apps that I've put time into only to have them disappear. And I was a little bit worried that this one would fall by the wayside, because yes, you can spend real money in this app,
but you don't need to.
But you don't need to. You get free coins every day, throughout the day. There are lots of bonuses. There are ways to earn free coins in the game. And you can collect full sets completely without spending a dollar, which we haven't yet, but I'm really, really enjoying it. They're doing lots of cool releases. We've got stuff from The Mandalorian. We've got original art series from specific artists. There is a lot of Bad Batch content. They even have watch parties where people around the world all press play on an episode or a movie, and then you can kind of chat with other fans and collect cards of those scenes as you watch along, which is really quite fun. And I think it's kind of fun, particularly while a large part of New Zealand is in lockdown, to have something to kind of take your mind off. It's completely free, and it kind of is getting that collecting urge there, because I get to collect little Star Wars collectibles. They do have a monetary value, while it's not endorsed while it's not endorsed or sort of technically allowed by the app developers. People do sell the cards for real money on eBay and then just do in-game trades for like a base card that's not worth very much. So if you happen to pull some of the very rare cards, you know, some people I think do it as a little bit of a side hustle, make a little bit of free cash on the side by selling some of these digital cards, because there is quite a competitiveness in the game. Some of the sets are very, very sought after. Certain characters are very, very sought after, and people will pay real money to get these cards in their little digital collection.
It's a funny little psychological experiment in some ways. The notion that these cards have monetary value and collectible value, even though they are just pixels, because you can technically share the images from within your collection to email accounts, for instance, in order to extract them. So they are just pixels, they are just JPEGs, but owning them in your collection is something special.
One thing that I noticed after our sort of break from the game was when we came back to it, they had introduced the concept of motion cards. So when you look at these cards, when they're not in your collection, they appear as a static image. Once you own the card, a full sort of animation will display when you are looking at the card. So it's a neat effect, so that it kind of incentivizes you to collect that card for yourself, because you cannot see the neat motion effect. It's kind of like adding lenticular effects to your cards. Some of them are called tilt. So if you literally tilt your device backwards and forwards, you can see the lenticular effect of it switching backwards and forwards between two or three images, and then motion ones, which are sort of big GIFs, really, that will change as you watch them. But I think that that's sort of fun. It's adding elements that of course, a digital app can add more sort of pizzazz than a flat printed card can. But I'm really enjoying it. And it is available on mobile devices on both Android and iOS, and it is cross-platform. You don't need to be on the same platform to trade and talk to people on the other. So it's just a fun little sort of side hobby. You don't need to check it every day. You can just sort of tap in, have a look at it, grab some free cards whenever you feel like it, or go down the rabbit hole and get quite obsessive. It's sort of one of those fun ones. And I'm just happy to see a Star Wars game that has survived this long. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Galaxy of Heroes, but that one is a lot more intensive. You do need to spend a lot of time to do well in that game. It is basically a daily game, and it really does benefit from being involved with a guild and sort of playing it as you would an online game with very regular input. But the card trader is just, I just love it. It's just so casual, and you can just pick up some really fun. They're really trying to add more original art, not just screenshots on cards. They're adding some really neat original art from a variety of artists.
Yeah, so that's the Star Wars Card Trader mobile app from Topps. Potentially a slippery slope in terms of a time sink if you're a collector, or if you have a collecting personality, as many of us do, being Star Wars fans. But little to lose by checking it out, I think. And we recommend it because we have been surprised by how much it satisfies that collecting bug. You know, as card trading fans, how much of a good replication of physical cards it actually is. Well, we've got a few news items to talk about that relate to live-action Star Wars content. The first up comes from a recent interview with Robert Rodriguez, where he talked on the topic of The Book of Boba Fett briefly. Robert Rodriguez is the executive producer of The Book of Boba Fett, having been the director of the significant Boba Fett episode in the most recent season of The Mandalorian, of course. On the topic of The Book of Boba Fett, he specifically says, I can't say anything about it at all right now, but it's coming out in December. Wait until you see what's coming. It's going to blow your mind. That's all I can say. I can talk it up all I want because I know it over-delivers. It way over-delivers. People are going to be so pumped when they see it. Now, obviously, that's a lot of hype and hyperbole, but I think that's still exciting, even if you sort of know that people who are involved in it at this level are going to obviously be proud of it and want to talk it up. It's nice to hear that. And by the sound of things, it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be different from not just, you know, carbon copies of the Mandalorian series. I think we can expect something a little bit different from the Book of Boba Fett, and I'm looking forward to that aspect of it.
It's always fun to hear people involved with making Star Wars just being super excited about the Star Wars content because they can see it before we can. And obviously, The Mandalorian has given us some incredible episodes, some incredible action and storyline, but we didn't know who The Mandalorian was. It didn't come with a huge amount of back history. They know going into the Book of Boba Fett, the fans have a pretty high bar for Boba Fett. He is a beloved character. People really want him to sort of get the sort of treatment that they really want him to be the sort of awesome character. They have to be aware of how much people are putting the expectations in on this, especially since they showed with The Mandalorian what they can give us in terms of dramatic story turns and action. We've seen a glimpse of what Boba Fett can do in The Mandalorian, so you know they're going to take it to the next level. And getting snippets like this from interviews is just like...
There's not detail there. There's just an atmosphere. There's just hype.
Yeah.
But the other thing that really has me sort of hyped is Robert Rodriguez seems like a really decent guy, a nice guy, and he really has a habit of engaging with his lead stars and reusing them on multiple projects and so forth. And he seems to have a particular chemistry with Temuera Morrison. We've seen them on set, you know, playing musical instruments, playing guitar together and so forth. And it'll be really interesting to see how that translates into the production of the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I kind of wish that Disney would give us a trailer or some sort of teaser or snippet the way that they do with movies, because by now, if this was a movie, we would have gotten a trailer by now. But I know it's the Disney Plus stuff.
Still over 3 months away.
Yeah.
We'll get something soon.
But at least this is just a little snippet just to kind of, you know, keep that energy high, remind us that, yep, this is coming and it's going to be awesome.
And following on from last week's podcast where we talked in depth about the Disney Gallery series that took a look at behind the scenes of the Mandalorian finale, there's a shout out to the Mandalorian team who won the best streaming series in the drama category at the Hollywood Critics Association Awards. Nice to have that sort of content acknowledged in an award. And also a follow-on from that same episode last week, just a little bit of a Twitter exchange that caught my eye. Jon Favreau, in that behind-the-scenes look at the Mandalorian finale, said, here's Mark Hamill, it felt like a dream, it was very strange. And I was fine, and then RTD rolled on, and I just had a moment when I broke down. I started tearing up, and I was like, let me remember this moment. So he was talking about the experience of being on set with Mark Hamill and RTD. And someone on Twitter put forward the question who had a similar reaction, and it was just fun to see Mark Hamill actually tweet a response. Me, he had such a strong reaction to seeing RTD on set and just being involved with the Luke Skywalker character again in that finale of The Mandalorian. Rounding out our news roundup, I just wanted to talk about a couple of articles that we've posted on the SWNZ website that focus on the history of the Star Wars phenomenon in New Zealand. First up, we take another look at the New Zealand Women's Weekly comics. Star Wars comics appeared in the New Zealand Women's Weekly from 1979 through to 1984. And in an article during the past week, we talk about the ninth story in the New Zealand Women's Weekly Star Wars series, which was entitled Planet of Cadril. It's an 8-page installment. It was written by Russ Helm and illustrated by Filipino comic artist Alfredo Alcala. And it kicked off historically in the 10th of November 1980 issue. So if you want to read more about that particular installment and the New Zealand Women's Weekly comics, which many of you will remember, check that out on the SWNZ website, link below on the YouTube channel or via the article for this podcast on the SWNZ website. We also took a quick flashback look at the December 10, 1977 issue of the Listener magazine. In this episode that came out just before Star Wars had wide release in New Zealand, there is a review of the Star Wars movie, the first Star Wars movie. It's kind of interesting to look back at how Star Wars was perceived and welcomed or thought about back when there was no other Star Wars content to sort of compare it to or give it context. a quote from that Listener magazine in the review. They talk about the fact that the battles between the Rebel spaceships and the Imperial fighters are actually nonsense, but they sure look nice. The ships don't even look right. They're used for close-range fighting. At visual distances, they have tiny little windows and obscuring panels, and they maneuver like aircraft rather than spaceships. So there were critiques back at the time and an analysis to distinguish science fiction from fantasy movies. But overall, Star Wars was received as a fun little romp, as long as you suspended your disbelief and overanalyze it. So we've got good coverage of that from the Listener magazine on the SWNZ website. Let's move on to look at product announcements and store reports. A new line of coins is coming out from the New Zealand Mint, just announced today. We've seen Mandalorian coins before on a couple of their other lines, but they've just announced a Mandalorian Classic line. The Classic lines from New Zealand Mint are the pure silver or pure gold coins that don't have any sort of colour or additional features added. So there's a standard Mandalorian Din Djarin coin coming out in 1 ounce of silver, 1/4 ounce of gold, or 1 ounce of gold. They're available for order or pre-order right now, and we can expect to see quite a few more Mandalorian characters in this line as we move forward. Just as a side note, I think from memory, all of the New Zealand Mint coins are just sort of on hold in terms of shipping because they are shipping many from Auckland, but you can still place orders for coins from the Star Wars collections and they'll be shipped out as soon as they're safely able to do so. A few new exclusive Funko Pops have shown up for order and pre-order. There is a Wicket Pop Vinyl figure that comes with a pin. So these Pop Vinyl figures that come with the pins are priced a little higher than the standard line. So this Wicket costs $34, but they come with a few variations like a colored base and distinct packaging. So he looks quite cool. I think it's going to be quite popular. A 3-pack of the End of Return of the Jedi Force Ghost scene, priced at $64 from a number of different retailers. So that's Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Yoda as Force Ghosts from the Endor scene. $64 for three figures that glow in the dark. I think it's a fairly reasonable price. That's the sort of price point that I'd be happy with. And finally, a metallic variant of the General Grievous Pop. This is a different sculpt from the previous General Grievous Pop vinyl figure. He's got standard pricing at around about $25, again, from a number of retailers in New Zealand. From Kotobukiya / RTFX, a new style of figure in their sort of 1/7, that's 10 inch approximately, statue line. Darth Vader the Ultimate Evil is a highly stylized representation of Darth Vader from his A New Hope fight with Obi-Wan scene. You can actually see in this statue Obi-Wan's cloak and lightsaber on the base, on the display base. But this representation of Darth Vader comes from a well-renowned artist that's contributed to Star Wars comic series, Hiromoto Shinichi, who has come to create a brand new scale figure in a what they're calling artist series. And so we may see additional representations of characters in this sort of stylized manner from Kotobukiya / RTFX. It's available for pre-order locally on Mighty 8 right now. It's priced at a little over $500, but a very highly detailed, an interesting version of Darth Vader. And last in our store reports and product announcements, we're going to talk about Pandora and Pandora beads in the Star Wars collections put out by Pandora. And the reason for this is that they have just very recently started teasing that they are going to do additional or more limited edition Star Wars products.
Yeah, so the Pandora Star Wars jewelry collection first released towards the end of last year with a range that included mostly original trilogy characters, but also BB-8 and Baby Yoda. Now, just a little over a month ago, they added a second wave to this collection, which included a Baby Yoda in his carriage, along with more original trilogy beads, including things like the Millennium Falcon and Yoda on Dagobah and the Death Star. So all of the beads that they have ever released are still currently available.
So the original ones, they typically weren't described as limited edition in the way that we're talking about now, are they? Yeah. So they will run out, but they are all currently available. That's interesting.
Yes. Technically, the only limited edition Pandora item we have seen was a gold variant of the Star Wars logo bead. That one was limited to when stocks run out or December 31st, whichever happened.
But it lasted a while, didn't it?
But the last time I was looking, I could still see some in the stores. So may or may not be still there. It was available on the website well past December, towards the middle of this year. So the limited edition stuff, it kind of depends on how sought after it is. It's not extremely limited because this is Pandora. They make stuff globally. But they just released today today, kind of like a very blurry image of a bracelet with beads on it. So you can't discern any details, but I'm very, very keen to know what these new additions are going to be. And that does show that the Pandora Star Wars collection is selling well, because when the first collection came out, everyone was like, how limited is this? Are you going to do more? Is this going to be an ongoing thing? And the basic consensus was, if this sells well, they will keep going. Obviously, if you are fans of Pandora and their other licenses, you know that they are still releasing masses of Disney beads. Disney is obviously a very popular theme for Pandora. They're going through and releasing a lot of the Disney princess stuff. They have done Alice in Wonderland, they did Lion King, all the classic franchises, and they also do, in the world of other licenses, they do Harry Potter beads that have done very well. So I'm very excited to see a global company making stuff very easily available in New Zealand. You can order online in New Zealand, and oftentimes you will get them within 1 or 2 days if you don't have a Pandora store near you.
They're free shipping at a certain price sale point, don't they?
And if you sign up for their emails, they occasionally give freebies like a free bracelet or something like that if you order over a certain amount, which is generally around about 2 beads if you want to add more to your collections.
The other thing to note is that even though we're talking about Star Wars beads that you generally wear on a bead bracelet, a charm bracelet, they can be worn in different ways, can't they?
Yes, good point. Pandora have been really expanding on the way that to get more fans to buy more beads, because you can fill up a bracelet pretty quickly. So there are a variety of other ways to wear your beads. They make necklaces and they even make sort of bag charms. So you can wear your beads in a variety of different ways if you run out of space on your bracelet. Or maybe you just have a very favorite character and you just want to wear it as a necklace, so you can hang it around your neck, 1 or 2 beads on a sort of a ring that hangs from a very, very pretty necklace. And if you want to bling up your bag, you can put the silver charms on a bag clip as well. So I think that's a really neat way to do jewelry. Yeah, yeah, you can mix and match, like you can change up the beads that are on your necklace, so you don't need to buy all the necklaces. Well, you can buy one necklace and just change up the beads to match with your outfit. It's fun.
So we introduced this as if we were talking about Pandora beads, but it is worth noting that we are in fact talking about Star Wars jewelry, and it's really quite high quality. Nice sculpts, very nice finishes, very cool details. But that teaser image, because you know the thing that came out today is what makes it timely, is that they're talking about a limited edition upcoming content. That teaser image, as you say, it looks like a bracelet. Got any feel for how many beads might be on it or how many products might be coming? Can you interpret it in any way, or is it too subtle?
It's tricky because there is a standard Star Wars bracelet, so I don't know if they're just using the bracelet as a display for some beads. I think there is more than one bead in the picture. It's interesting because the first collection only had the one limited item, which wasn't too limited. So maybe they're trying to sort of get a little bit more pizzazz marketing for the collection, or just sort of as a treat for sort of passionate fans. I don't know whether they're going to tie in with, say, Boba Fett, or we're going to see more Mandalorian stuff, because
so far they've done a lot of original trilogy stuff and a smattering of Mandalorian type content, haven't they?
Yes.
Anything else? Or?
No, just BB-8 from the sequels. No prequel content unless you want to consider R2 and 3PO, because obviously they're in all the movies. And the two baby Yodas, one in his hover pram and one where he is standing, which are both very cute. But yes, the rest are all original trilogy series. I would love to see some sort of variations. Obviously, there are some that are a little bit more generic, like there is a crossed lightsabers, blue and red crossed, obviously meant to depict Luke versus Vader, but you can sort of take it as whoever you sort of feel like.
Sith versus Jedi, yeah.
Yes, and the Star Wars logo, which is widely available in a silver bead that's sort of like a cut through. It looks really neat on a bracelet.
So with that upcoming content yet to be fully revealed, it sounds like we're going to be talking about Pandora Star Wars jewelry again at some point in the very near future. But that's about it for this installment. I guess we're done doing talking. If you have any thoughts on topics we've discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. Leave a comment on the YouTube page or on our website page for this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and another podcast episode every week on Fridays. Don't forget, you can jump on over to either our Facebook group or the SWNZ message boards to discuss all the latest Star Wars news with other Kiwi fans. Thank you for listening. Stay safe.
And may the Force be with you.